If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon. Hello and welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
He was drinking.
Yes.
What are we talking about
tonight? I was finishing last show's beer.
Last show's beer. That's your excuse.
I lost my hat, too.
You lost your hat.
Everyone can see I need a haircut.
Oh, my God.
My wife's been telling me that I need a haircut for a while, though.
You do need a haircut, you filthy animal. You hairy, filthy, dirty dog. Hey, I got a weird one tonight. So I've had a couple of job interviews lately and, they're online. They're just like people just do it from their desk. Now you don't go to a boardroom. You don't go to a certain office, right? All within the company I work for a big company, but, it's just like this.
So you don't wear pants to the interviews?
I do, but I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I wearing, because I'm wearing a suit. You know, tie, dress shirt, you know, I got dress shoes on. I'm thinking, why? Like, I'm actually in the physical office when I'm doing this because I have children, so it's quieter there than my house. But,
which is why you're wearing pants. Otherwise, why wear pants?
Yeah, but I could just wear like my cargo shorts because they're only going to see like.
So you can wear cargo shorts in the office now?
I've always worn cargo shorts in the office.
Oh, I thought they would have had it for.
IT, no one gives a shit what we wear. Right. No one sees us. We don't face like the customer. Nobody cares.
Okay.
We're all the dirty, ugly trolls. But yeah, you work for a different company. They're a little more hoity-toity. I was interviewed there once, and they're all like, yes, straighten our ties.
No, we're 100.
Let's put on our long wigs.
We're a 100-year-old company.
The company I work for doesn't give a shit. They're like, wear your cargo pants.
That's because we're a union shop. We're a private shop.
We do have a wear a union shop, but even
no, they did restrict it, and it is now. And this started before.
You can't wear cargo shorts anymore.
No, we actually can't wear shorts, except for on Fridays in the summer.
Oh yeah, for Fridays, like at my work, all the managers, and most of them are like, so like my like assistant, the assistant to like the director of where I work, he's always like, you know, business casual pants. Like the collar dress shirt.
So
he always looks pretty good. The rest of us are just like.
We were always, even IT, we were always business casual.
Business cash.
Unless you were meeting with an external party, then you had to wear, not formal, but just a step up. Maybe put on a tie or actually a button up shirt.
We get told that sometimes if someone's coming in.
And then.
Yeah.
They switched from that to, just before COVID started, they switched to dress for your day.
The hell does that mean?
That means
dress for your day.
That means if in IT, if you're gonna be crawling around, you know, rewiring the
network guy,
you can wear jeans for that,
right?
If you're gonna be meeting with someone, then you dress up for, you know.
Oh, hello, like, Monsieur. Yes.
So it meant that, you know, okay, however. You still couldn't wear shorts and sandals.
Oh, one of the guys I've worked with for years, this guy wears sandals in the November. This is Canada. I know we're like in a warmer part of Canada, relatively speaking, but this guy, he's like, he pushes it. It'll be like December 1st. He's like, I got one more day wearing sandals. It's like, God damn, he loves his sandals.
I've known guys who would wear shorts and sandals 365 days a year. So the difference is in the...
When there's 2 foot snow outside, how do you do that?
You put on wool socks.
I suppose.
Short sandals and wool socks.
I feel like I wear wool socks and boots, and I'm smarter than them.
I'm not saying anything. They tend to be, guys like that tend to be carrying a few extra pounds.
But job interviews are weird now. During COVID, there was a guy I found online. He was talking about this. He had actually made his own filter, and it puts like a black suit and like tie on you. So it's like, if you got your boss is like, oh, FaceTime quick. Whoa, click, beer. What do you got?
Okay. This is Side Launch, Collingwood, Ontario.
Hold her up.
It is Any Day Session IPA. That's a great name.
Yeah. There you go. Nice session IPA. Nice and cold.
Yep.
There you go.
That'll be a great balance for the...
honey butter chips. But anyway, this guy did a
6.2% alcohol.
A filter that puts a suit on him. And the thing with a suit filter, what if you move too quick? He's going to see your nipple. Like, you can't, you don't want your boss to see your nipple and be like, whoa, is that a filter? And be like, hey, I coded it on work time. That means we own it. Let's get that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that's going to go. Anyway, so the beer's good?
So it's a session IPA. So it's 4% alcohol.
But I have to balance you out. If you get more than 5% on average per hour, you get rowdy.
It's actually a very good.
Rowdy Richard.
No, this is probably the best session IPA I've had.
Ever?
Yeah. Usually they're kind of a little bit on the bitter side. Because they don't have the malt to flavor to balance out the hops. Okay. But no, this is actually really good.
Well, you're welcome. I don't think we've had that brewery before on the show. A lot of breweries are kind of repeats or have had them before.
Yeah, no, Side Launch, I don't think I've had this, but this is probably the best session IPA I've had.
At a Loblaws near you. Shout out to the beer section at Loblaws. Although it's annoying, because Loblaws, you can't buy beer at all the caches. So I went one cache, and the guy's like, oh, I can't do beer.
Yes, I know.
I guess he's 18. Or
no, the thing is that to serve beer, to sell beer, the cashiers have to have their smart serve.
Oh, so the guy looked like he was in his early 20s, like a college student.
Which is fine. But the thing is, even if you don't have it, they only will sell it through those caches. Like he may have been able to work at one of those caches, but it's basically just to keep it going. There's certain caches. They got signs up though.
Well, yeah, I didn't even look. I was just like, oh, an empty cashier.
Yep.
Was on the way over tonight. I'll simply buy this
what
beer.
Is
he's like, oh, and he's a foreign guy. So he's like, oh, you have beer, sir? Oh, could you just go to number 7, please? I'm like, oh, I see the sign. Okay, I'll go to number 7. And it's just some like white lady who's like, hey, yeah, goes. You got a bag? You got a points card? You got a points card? No, I don't have a points card. Ah, you should get a points card. I don't want a points card. I hate points cards.
So some of the rules are really ridiculous.
About what? Alcohol or points cards?
No, both. Alcohol.
Both.
Well, points cards maybe, but alcohol. So
we're just going
in. They make sense. At some level.
Okay.
But in practice, they don't work. So.
Okay. How do they not work? I mean, I don't have to show an ID now because I'm
middle-aged. It's not even to do with showing ID. So when Loblaws first started selling beer, my wife was shopping at Loblaws with my daughter. And they stopped by the beer section and they got me some beer. And it was for my birthday. My birthday was coming up. My 40th birthday was coming up. Mm. And so my daughter helped my wife pick out. Like, she didn't touch. She wasn't going into the beer can. Like, she was like 6 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was helping my wife pick out the cans. Because they're you know, you look for, when you're picking out craft beer that you know nothing about, you go for the interesting looking cans.
I generally do. Generally, yes. If there's like an octopus or a cougar or a spaceship, yes.
So,
that's what you're drinking.
So basically, my wife had my daughter helping pick out the beer, which is fine.
And she was the whole time, like teenager?
No, my daughter who was like 6.
Oh, you're younger. Richard has so many children. He's so Catholic.
Only have 4. I don't have
100.
I don't have children. 14.
He has like 400 children. He has like 35 wives and like 20 mistresses. You're not an Asian king in the olden days.
No, I'm not.
Could you imagine?
How much
semen must you have to have hundreds of children?
I do not understand the, like, it's hard enough keeping one woman satisfied.
I
suppose the thing is, you don't worry about satisfying them. It's all about satisfying you.
See, here's the thing.
I can't imagine.
Do you like cars, Richard?
Yes.
If you had unimaginable wealth, how often would you buy a car? I'm just saying, I think for some dudes, women are kind of like things.
Yes. But anyway, so we're getting off. So back to my story.
Back to your story about,
my daughter helped pick out the beer. No,
your 6-year-old daughter, little
my
kid.
6-year-old, but she, it kid. Was because it's not like my wife was having her go and, you know, it was just sort of the, you know, she was like, oh, how about that one? And that was, so she was getting excited about it. They get to the cash, And we always have our kids help unload the cart.
Oh, sure. Oh, and the kids can't put the beer on the counter because it's...
And as soon as my daughter touched one of the cans of beer...
Yes.
The cashier stopped and said, you have to put that back. I cannot serve you.
Oh, legally, that's the liability.
I can't bring this beer through because your daughter touched it.
So your wife had to put it back in the cart and put it back on the thing again?
Well, she basically put it aside. She wouldn't let her buy it at all.
Oh, I would have bought none of the groceries. I would have called the manager and be like, this is stupid.
And my daughter's in tears because this was beer for my 40th birthday.
But it's not like it's someone who's like 17 and it looks sketchy. This is a mom and her 6-year-old buying groceries.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's not like it's a teenager who is getting an adult to buy them beer. This was a 6-year-old.
I kind of feel like at that point, I would have like dropped the beer on the floor and been like, whoops-a-doodle, because it's a mess.
So, and the thing is that my wife's like, okay, well, can I ring it through later? And so she's like, no.
Yeah, I'd be like, manager, now. I would go full Karen. I'd be like, go meet the manager, Karen. Because she was clearly being a Karen.
Yeah, it was basically, it's the letter of the law. And I understand because it's probably her manager is the one who basically...
I don't care.
...laid down the riot.
I would stand there and start talking really loudly and make a big stink until they cash me through. And I would just keep doing that.
Yeah.
So if you stand there and you're loud and you're like reasonable, eventually but people will give in.
My point is, there was no judgment left. Obviously, my wife wasn't buying it for my 6-year-old daughter.
Yeah. Like what's the implication here? I'm sorry, you can't do that. Or was it that she said, you actually have to put it on the counter for me or something?
Yeah. So the thing is, she could have said that. She could have said, I'm sorry, your daughter's not allowed to handle the beer. You will have to go and take it out of the cart and put it on the counter.
That'd be fine.
That would have been fine.
But she's like, you can't buy it all now.
Exactly. And it's like, well, this one? No, all of them.
I'm like, okay, I'll put them back on the floor. Smash. Oh, I totally would have just dropped them. And if they asked me what happened, I'd be like, oh, the cashier was mean to me.
I got upset and
I fumbled. I dropped them because she was so mean and cruel. Yeah. She made my daughter cry.
But the thing is that to me, I doubt it's, I understand why the law is there because it's like, okay, the teenage kid with his, you know, just barely legal uncle.
Yeah, that's right.
His
uncle turned 19 last week.
Yes.
And 19 is drinking age in Canada, America.
And so the 19-year-old goes through and, you know, the 17-year-old is carrying the beer and obviously...
Yeah, we all know that beer is for. But that to me, that's just one person who's an idiot being a jerk.
Well, to me, that says it's probably not that person. It's probably that the cashiers were told that they could be fired if they allowed.
Right.
To me, that speaks to a management problem.
Oh, I would have called the manager down. No, ring me through now. Now, do it.
So,
and then I would get loud and annoying. Because if someone's going to go Karen on me, like a cashier, I'll go full Karen right back. Big Irish loud Karen. What is that?
So do you know what this is?
Looks like part of a spark plug, kind of, but it's not. Let me see. Oh, the whole thing, that's not a spark plug. I mean, that...
Shake it.
Oh, it's a neat kind of valvey thing. Is it part of an injector for oil or something?
Nope.
Or
something? That is a PCV valve.
Ooh, and what is that for?
Positive... Ventilation, PVC, sorry, PV, positive, PCV, crank, positive,
PCV.
PCV. So positive crankcase ventilation valve.
Positive crankcase, so that's ventilation for the crankcase in a car.
Yes, so cool. On the engine. So basically.
And what is a crankcase, Richard?
That is the block of your engine where your pistons are. So okay. Your pistons are moving back and forth, and they the seal isn't perfect, so air gets sucked into... exhaust gases, air, gasoline,
and this balances fuel. Out so it doesn't go boom.
And this, well, so that it doesn't build up too much pressure. In old cars, they used to just be a down tube. So basically, it'd come out, and it would just go down and drip oil and exhaust gases and that sort of stuff out in the ground.
But this is a valve that lets it go out.
It goes up and back into the intake.
So shouldn't that be in your car, Richard?
Well, this is off my old car, my old engine. I put the plastic, it doesn't screw into the new engine. I put the plastic one in that they have. But this is one of the $20 part.
$20 for a little valve?
That if you neglect, you can kill your engine.
If it gets dirty, you mean? It doesn't.
So what happens is that because it oil and that sort of stuff and it stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one, it rattles, but not very well. It's gummed up.
You can degum it. Get some degummer.
A little bit of brake clean, which I've already sprayed a little bit of brake clean into this
brake
one.
Brake clean.
But what happens is that if this gums up, it doesn't let the pressure builds up in your crankcase, and it will push, and that pressure has to escape somewhere.
Right.
Like your rear seal.
Oh, then it goes poof. Was that on your car?
I think.
Oh, so that killed the rear seal in your engine, and then that's why you had a slow leak, which you didn't see, and that's why your whole engine went kapoof.
That is what I'm thinking.
The joys of driving an old Subaru.
But these are on all modern engines.
Oh.
Every single engine.
Do they clean those out if you go for like to a regular dealership? So where are they?
So on your Subaru, it is on the facing the engine. It's on the left hand side.
So passenger side.
Behind the air intake. Okay. On the block.
So should I actually go and clean mine out? Go give it a wipe?
Yeah.
Spray some brake clean.
So basically yours will be screwed down into the block.
Yes.
Probably like it'll look a lot like this.
Yes.
The one on my car is a plastic one. It fits into housing, but it is on some of the other models. They're actually screwed into the air intake.
Right.
They're actually a reverse valve.
Okay.
In this way, and so yeah, it's a $20 part that if you ignore,
it could kill the engine.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's wild. Well, and the top tip, clean your, what do you call it?
PCV valve.
Clean your PCV valve.
So basically you take it out and or you replace them. Like they're $20, so it's cheap.
Yeah, it's probably worth replacing if the car is, 10 years old, over 200,000 clicks.
So, but a little bit of brake cleaner in them. And basically, and they're easy to check too. You just pull them out and then you.
If they rattle. They're good?
They're good.
If they don't rattle. Bad.
Yep.
Interesting. That is what a good first half of the show. This is very good conversation tonight. This is good.
Here's another thing.
Ooh, more automotive talk.
More automotive talk. So, P0420. It's very
P0420.
It's a code. You get a code reader. You get a code in your car. P0.
Isn't that the marijuana code 420?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's actually catalyst efficiency low.
What does that mean?
So your catalytic converter goes and takes harmful exhaust gases and catalyzes them into CO2.
Okay.
Which is less harmful.
Right.
So hydrogen sulfide and stuff like that. Over time, your catalytic converter... especially if you've got an oil leak or you've got a head gasket leak and you're burning antifreeze or stuff like that, it gets gummed up and the catalyst stops working because it's covered with either soot or other contaminants. And so your catalytic converter is no longer heating up to the point where it's actually burning, it's no longer storing oxygen. And then burning off the, converting these gases into CO2.
Right.
So you've got two oxygen sensors. You got one in front of the catalytic converter and one behind your catalytic converter.
Yes.
Now, there's some cars which have multiple cats, and some of them may have a lot of catalytic converters and a lot of O2 sensors. But anyways, it's the same sort of thing, is that basically all modern cars, they basically watch the front O2 sensor and the rear O2 sensor, and then they compare them and to see if they stay in sync. They shouldn't stay in sync. So basically, if the oxygen reading goes up on this one and then down, it should actually stay the same over here because the catalytic converter should be either capturing and storing oxygen.
Right.
Or using that oxygen that's captured and stored to burn off the exhaust gases.
Okay.
I learned something interesting, though.
So catalytic do tell, good sir.
Catalytic converters are expensive.
Yes, they are.
However, the OEM catalytic converters are designed to last the lifetime of the car.
Okay.
They should last 15, 20 years.
Like 300,000 kilometers or more.
500,000 kilometers or more.
Okay. So why do they always die and be replaced?
They don't actually die. They just get clogged. They get dirty.
So if you actually... So it's not rusted out and you just take it out and clean it.
But how do you clean a catalytic converter?
No idea. But I bet you can tell me.
So there is a scientific paper I ran across, where they use not very strong acid solution, but it's a solution of citric acid, and oxalic acid.
Okay, oxalic acid, sure.
Or oleic acid.
Okay.
The stuff that we use for beekeeping.
The beekeeping, yeah, oxalic acid, sure, yeah.
You heat it up, and you just run it through your catalytic converter, so in a pail or something like that, for a couple hours.
Okay.
So it's like...
How do you flow it through? With a pump or something?
With a pump or something like that. Okay. Or you just dip it in and out.
Okay.
And I've seen lots of... I'm going to be doing this weekend.
Cool.
But there is... lots of anecdotal evidence that I've seen online that this really actually works. So you can go... You get a P200 error. You do this... You don't get it. Like the people who in California who are doing this,
yep,
they've got 20 plus year old cars that are passing with this original CAT, which are still passing because California doesn't just do the computer test for emissions. They still do the actual smog test, the tailpipe test.
Really? Tailpipe test. Okay.
And so
they're really checking it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because the whole point of a catalyst is so do you know how a catalyst works?
I bet you can tell me.
So in a chemical reaction, a catalyst is something that helps the chemical reaction happen,
mm-hmm.
but does not get used up during it.
Oh.
So a catalytic converter converts exhaust gases to CO2, and does that by using a heated catalyst. When the catalyst is up to temperature, the catalyst doesn't get burnt up. It doesn't get used.
Oh.
So there's no reason other than, you know, I've got a cheap CAT on a cheap manifold that I got it's on a ceramic. So in a catalytic converter, it's on a ceramic honeycomb.
Okay.
And then if the gases flow through that, and then the ceramics there to give it a higher surface area.
Okay.
For it to go and react. My cheap manifold with a catalytic converter in it, which is $200, you know, it worked for a year. It probably still works. But when I was just looking at it, I was going to go and put it back on the car. I noticed that the catalyst, the honeycomb part,
yep.
has become detached. It's loose.
Oh.
So because it's ceramic, and the thing is, once it's loose and rattling around in there, it's just going to break up.
Yeah, it's going to keep breaking up.
So
it's garbage now.
Yeah. And so the thing is, that's the thing is that you get a cheap catalytic converter to pass smog or whatever.
Right.
It's going to last you. The reason why it's cheap is because they're using less of the catalyst and less of the...
It's basically a discount.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a discount.
But there's no reason why the catalyst should ever disappear unless it's broken up and gone out the tailpipe.
Right. Then it's literally...
But the OEM ones, they should never wear out. So if your catalytic converter dies, you can try cleaning it.
Well, you have to cut it off, clean it, then weld it back in.
Well, or you just get so the Subarus, they're in the header, which makes it a little bit more complicated. So yeah. You need like a 5-gallon pail is enough to be able to go and work it in and submerge it.
Hmm.
5-gallon plastic
pail. While it's still attached to the car?
No, you take it off the car.
Okay, say.
You don't have to cut it off. It just unbolts.
Oh, okay, nice. That sounds...
You think the exhaust is...
I don't know how an exhaust system is all connected. Lots of bits are welded together.
Nuts and bolts and rust.
Yeah, rust holds cars together. In Canada.
Yes.
Well, especially the East Coast. Well, that was pretty good. That was a good episode about stuff. Should we keep going, though? I had a topic.
What was your topic?
It sounds stupid now. It was that lady, Mandy Sellers, who had the giant legs, and they, like, amputated one, and then the other one grew back. The one that they amputated grew back. You ever heard about this?
No, I haven't.
She had, like, huge legs her whole life, like, ridiculously huge legs her whole life.
So we were talking about, I mentioned this to you last week. This is not on the show, but I mentioned to you afterwards, because you were talking about dieting and stuff and that sort of stuff. And I mentioned we talked a bit a little about PCOS. But there's other metabolic, there's other conditions where, and one of them.
Oh, I was fat shaming people last week and being mean. And then you're like, some people have medical conditions. And I was like, yeah, but I feel like a lot of people, even with medical conditions, they do give up. I think, because you always hear these stories too, where it's like, I had given up, but then someone gave me hope and they tried and they overcome the medical condition or they get better. I do feel like a lot of people, especially in today's world, they kind of go, oh, well, because everyone kind of wants to eat all the delicious things. Everyone has that inner desire, like, I want hot dogs and pizza. But at the end of the day, it's like, no, we should actually be counting our calories and protein
so
and
there is
being careful. And
there is a medical condition.
Gigantism.
Which affects mostly women. And I'm sure people have seen women who look that like that. They look perfectly normal from the waist up. And from the waist down, they're just enormous.
Yeah, like the picture of that black lady at Walmart and her kid is standing on her butt.
Yeah. And
that's a real picture, not doctored, I don't
think. The medical condition basically is that their body is unable to use the fat cells.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. Yeah. It's weird.
They're unable to use the fat cells that are in the legs.
But it's weird it's in the legs, because you always think of like fat as like proportionally around the body.
Yeah, no, it's just basically it's a genetic condition, and they can't use their body will not burn that fat.
So this lady here,
I guess she was born with legs that were already twice the size.
Yeah, there's like you can see her legs are like ridiculously enormous. Like you can look her up. She's a British lady. Mandy Sellers was born with legs which were twice the size of an average baby, and as she grew up, her legs continued to grow at an exponential rate.
I don't think they know what exponential is, but anyways, yeah.
It's just an online article. Something believed to be down to the PIK3CA gene mutation. Pica. The PIK3CA gene mutation. While she was able to walk at first, they soon got so big that she became unable to walk. Doctors recommended that Mandy have her legs amputated. Her mother refused to give her consent for the procedure. And then they got worse. She grew up. She developed a blood clot, which can be fatal. So the clot left her paralyzed from the waist down, and she had to learn to walk again. 3 years after that, she got an infection in her kidneys and got MRSA. It sounds terrible.
Well, the thing is, MRSA
so
is...
So finally, she decided to get her leg amputated. But after the procedure, her leg began to grow back. With now, her limb ballooning at an accelerated rate.
Now, grow back is in...
well, let's keep reading.
In quotations. This is on Unilad, so it's not the...
It's on every website. I just grabbed this article randomly.
Yeah.
It keeps, like, trying to make me buy it. I want to buy Unilad. She has taken new medications, helped the growth of her legs, managing them keep. But it's a weird mutation; her legs keep growing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how they're growing. If it's fat or muscle or bone or what it is.
Well, the thing is, from the look of it, like her foot looks just like this is bigger than her head.
They're bigger than her whole body. Like her feet are enormous. It's crazy. She has a weird, crazy wheelchair.
Her foot is about the size, her one foot, because her other foot's been amputated, is the size of her torso.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. I mean, like, that's what it is, but that doesn't look right.
The question is that the growing back is what got me.
What does that actually mean?
So if you look at that picture there.
You can see the leg where they amputated it.
Yes. So it's not so much that it's growing back.
It's growing bigger.
It's just growing bigger.
The stump started growing back.
Really? As in this, the stump started swelling. Like, not swelling. It just keeps going.
Overgrowth of the skin, bone, and fat tissue in her lower half. So, yeah, so it keeps...
So her lower half just keeps growing.
Isn't that weird? Look at the size of that shoe. It's like as big as like a Labrador Retriever.
Yeah.
What a weird condition. How bizarre. Very bizarre. Anyway, I just thought that was like a neat, weird thing worth talking about.
Yeah.
Because it is a neat, weird thing. And this must be extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to imagine most people in most countries who weren't fortunately born in, say, Britain, where there's full health care, would just die of this by age 8 or something. They would just be like, oh, you have crazy legs. They killed you. Blood clot, whatever.
Oh, there's an Indian guy who's...
There's who?
There's an Indian guy who's...
Indian guy?
Yeah, who's...
From India?
Yeah.
Good. If you say an Indian guy, you mean like
a penis and Native North American. Kept growing.
What? So there's a man from India whose penis and testicles kept growing?
Yeah, he had to, you know, carry them in a wheelbarrow.
That can't be true. I'm going to Google it now. Indian man with genitals that kept growing. Oh my God, it looks like it's real. Good Lord. That is a crazy picture. Is that real? This dude getting out of it. The man with 132-pound scrotum. There was a South Park episode like that where they were joking about having like huge testicles and they're like bouncing on them like a bouncy ball, like a kid's toy. Okay, it's on the BBC. Okay. I guess that's real. Good Lord. Oh, wait. The man with the penis on his arm? How many weird penis stories are there?
Oh, there's tons.
I mean, I
look up the guy with two penises.
I read that article.
Ask Me Anything on Reddit.
So I read about that guy a couple of years ago. And you remember the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., very popular MCU universe show?
Yeah.
It was the Coulson series. Yes. It was all about Coulson and his team. Anyway, so of course, like the whole Hail Hydra thing was very popular at the time with the movies and the show and Hydra being the bad guys doing, you know, weird science experiments on everything. So this guy, he would wear tight pants, I guess, and... You could see the bulge in either thigh of both of his legs. He had two 10-inch penises. So what would happen is he'd be in a coffee shop. He lived in New York. And someone would notice and kind of, you know, give him a look. They wouldn't say anything. And he'd go over and whisper into their ear, Hail Hydra. And then he'd leave the coffee shop. I was like, that's like, yeah, you had to kind of be there 10 years ago when that show was really popular. When did they end that show? Was that pre-COVID they ended that?
Yeah.
That was a good series.
It was. The problem was that there was issues between Thirst because they were part of the Marvel Universe officially, but they were when Disney bought everything, because they were a...
Well, they were on ABC too, weren't they, even before Disney bought it? I think ABC was doing it.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because ABC is owned by Disney. That's like their network. But in any case, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a great series. But they actually timed things because, like, they had the whole Triskelion thing getting blown up, which was in one of the Captain America movies. So when Captain America movie was released, like, the following night when, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came on, it was referencing that.
Yeah, no. The thing is that they tried to keep things sort of things, but they weren't kept in the loop as to what the planning was because the Marvel...
apparently the movie people and the show people didn't have a lot of back and forth for some reason.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, so they kind of had to have their own like storylines, which were like high level approved.
Yes.
But then every now and then they'd say, oh no, we're going to have a storyline that relates to the movie.
Well, and that's movies. It. But basically, they had to wait until the movies were out before they could actually have the storyline. And the problem is that they were not kept in the loop.
But they were for the Triskelion one, because that was like lined up beautifully.
Yes, early on they were, but later they weren't. The thing is that the idea was, the idea behind it was that you'd have this, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, and it could actually feed into the movies, and there'd be this feedback.
Well, it did, though, because they...
And in the early seasons, it did.
Even the later seasons, because when Coulson's off doing a secret thing, and he builds another big helicarrier, that's the one in the Avengers one where, like, they raise up, fictional Eastern European country, and they drop it again. Was it Slovenia or something? Yeah. So, Suvlakia? Suvlaki. Isn't that meat on a stick? But whatever it is.
Yeah, it's a Slovenia. Slovenia accordage.
Or something, yeah. So they do that one. So that movie, don't bang the table. You're banging. But what's his face? Sam Jackson shows up, right? Nick Fury shows up. He shows up one of these things. Hey, I got a ride from an old friend. That's the line referencing that. What was the big secret? Because the season was like, there's some big project Coulson's working on. What's he doing? Is it actually Coulson? Is he flipped? Is he Hydra? Is he really him? Is he a robot? And then it turns out he was on a secret mission for Nick Fury to build a big airship.
Yeah. And so the thing is that, but it was all one-sided. Well, it shouldn't have been all one-sided because I think the actors had a little bit like, you know.
Yeah.
Like Samuel Jackson was in both.
Well, he was in like, I think, was it the pilot episode?
Yeah.
I think he did the pilot episode, but you never saw him again.
Yeah.
They just did like lip service to him.
So.
They also had What's-Her-Face, Lady Sif from the Thor movies.
Uh-huh.
She shows up in the first season, I think. And they had a few other people like that would kind of cross over a little
bit. But because it had a to keep going. And then as things got pushed, the schedules got shifted for the big screen movies and that sort of stuff. Yeah. It worked fairly well and they managed to keep it working decent, but it was not apparently behind the scenes. It was very difficult in that, you know, there was stuff that they should have been kept in the loop and they weren't and
yada, yada, yada. Yeah, that's
the artist. It's the whole artistic thing, you know. People.
It's also contracts, and this is my department. It's a siloed nature of big companies.
And also, and the other thing is that there was the whole Marvel, the Marvel getting bought by Disney, and then there was
that kind of put a monkey wrench, I guess, in some of the plans, because then Disney wants to have their own take in their marketing plans.
Because they were what, Netflix shows originally?
No.
Because it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then there was also there was the Defender stuff. There was Power.
Yeah, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was all ABC. That was like owned by Disney or done in partnership with them, because that was all on ABC, which is a Disney network. But then there was the four Netflix series, you know, like the Iron Fist, Jessica Jones. Those ones were all Netflix kind of doing it. So they didn't know anything about it. So they would kind of reference things because like Hell's Kitchen is actually really gentrified in New York. So they had to talk about Hell's Kitchen, how after the incident, which was like the first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
So they were kind of vague. They didn't have a lot of detail.
Well, no. And they were deliberately that way because...
But they're bringing them back in now because they had Daredevil in the last Spider-Man.
Yes. And it's the same actor, which is great.
Yeah, like he catches the thing that comes flying in the window.
And they had Fisk back.
Yep, they had Fisk back. He's excellent.
In the Hawkeye series.
Anyway, we could bang on all night about the MCU and how much we like it and what we think about, you know, movie production politics. But what note should we end on? How do we end this podcast about automotives, gigantic legs, Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I didn't even open the honey butter chips.
Have you seen the new Disney series, Ahsoka?
Nope.
It's Star Wars, Ahsoka.
Ahsoka?
But, nope. But some people were like, what's Ahsoka? Because it's like, you know, it's always a funny, anyway.
Yeah, so.
That didn't land. Ahsoka. I've been watching the Ahsoka series. It's very good. It's basically Star Wars Rebels, the cartoon show, which was kind of for kids, but a lot of adults watched it. It's basically Ahsoka picking up with all those characters and a whole thing with them. So it's where that series left off and ended. they're kind of revisiting, you know, possible lingerings of foreshadowing. So it's actually, it's really well done. I gotta give to Disney, all of these Star Wars series they're doing and the Loki series, these like 8-episode series they're doing, but they're high quality. They're almost like a bunch of mini featurette films. They're really doing a good job.
Yeah.
They're really well. I know some people complain about some of the other Disney movies they do that they're too woke, or why are you remaking Little Mermaid? There's a lot of that kind of criticism. But in the Star Wars universe, in the MCU, Disney's doing a pretty good job. They're pretty good. I'm enjoying them. So, yeah. That's a show, is it? Is that a show?
I think that's a show.
I
could get do a whole rant on woke stuff, but, you know, I won't.
It's just the new politically correctness.
Well, no, the thing
there'll be another new one in 20 years.
Well, no, it's the...
I almost ended the show. Now he's dragging me. Now he's dragging me back in.
The whole term woke is basically... woke means that you have woken... means to wake up. It is a Christian term. It's like, you know, I was asleep, now I'm awake. I see what is going on. I see the injustices in the world.
Yeah.
So to be protesting against wokeness is to be protesting against people being aware of the injustices in the world.
Yeah, but wokeness used to be that, and then wokeness became a way to be shitty on the internet.
Well, the thing is there are people who are virtue signaling.
Which is being shitty on the internet.
Yes, but the anti-woke people are shittier.
Oh, that's an interesting shit comparison. And it's hard to do a proper shit comparison because there's different levels of shit.
So basically, being anti-woke is literally being, I'm against people seeing that there's inequalities. That there's shitty things going on.
Yeah, but things also change over time. I mean, like, feminism in the 1950s isn't feminism
No,
now.
No, I agree.
Things change.
But the... I don't hear the left using the term woke very much.
No, they don't.
The right is the only people who are using the term woke these days.
And they're using it in a derogatory fashion. And they're basically
all they mean is things I don't like. That's all woke is to them. I saw a bit they were going and asking people at a Republican convention.
Right.
What woke meant to them.
Oh, interesting.
None of them could actually define what woke was other than it was something bad. They didn't know what it was. They just knew it was bad.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, but that's the kind of thing. A lot of these terms kind of lose...
meaning.
Well, it's like the whole...
Basically, one of them said, I mean socialist. Or communist.
No,
they don't understand. They don't actually understand what the term woke means.
So, like, I mean, like, classic original
flavor. I was asleep, but now I'm awake.
I know. Yeah, you're good. You're good. But, like, original flavor woke, classic flavor woke was, don't see that the person's black. Look at the whole person. Oh, they're actually dressed nicely. They have a briefcase. They're probably going to a job. This is a regular productive member of society, as opposed to seeing a black person.
No.
And calling 911. That was woke, a woke idea.
The idea of woke is that doesn't matter. You realize that, hang on, it doesn't matter if I'm as a black person, if I dress up like a white person, if I do all this stuff, I'm not going to be treated the same as a white person. That's being woke. The realization that there is something that I will be treated differently as a black person, no matter how I act. No matter what I do.
By some people, not by everyone, by some people, yes, because there's culturally ingrained... beliefs or people are, but
there is systemic things. There are things that basically is realizing that. So wokeness is realizing that for the black person, the deck is stacked against them.
In some respects, not in all.
Unless you're in sports.
But if you are,
so this deck's not stacked against you if you're going to entertain white people.
Or if you're applying for university funding.
No, the thing is
there's way more funding in the United States right now.
But that is not anything to do with wokeness. That is because people, that was a...
Yeah, it's trying to even the playing field.
It was trying to historically even the playing field. Whether they did a good job of it or not, that can be debated.
It is interesting.
But it has nothing to do with being woke.
No, I do feel like the you are right though. I think the right
woke means basically understanding. And the thing is, you can be woke about many different topics. It is not as it doesn't just have to do with black people.
Yeah, I mean, it can be about anything in society. But really, I think you have a point there.
So realizing that Republicans are woke.
The filthy Irish, Conan.
The Irish have been
marginalized
for a large part of American history, and they still and the thing is that they
and the Italians and the Chinese.
Yeah, the thing is that you realize that okay, hang on, being woke is realizing that there is the American dream doesn't work if you don't fit into the right category.
Yeah, to some degree, but I think there's more nuance to it today because regionally, I think those things are very different depending on where you are in America, and it changes a lot. I mean, when I was in Vermont last before COVID happened, you get a lot of transplants that moved to different states because they didn't like where they were, so they went somewhere like Vermont where they think it's going to be better or it's nicer. You know, Bernie Sanders town, Burlington. So you get a lot of that, but I mean, I think. I think you are right. I think the word woke has basically become anything Republicans don't like.
Yeah,
which was not the original meaning of the word, but it has lost.
Which is not the meaning for, and it's not the meaning. So the way that Republicans use woke, they're the only people who use woke like that. The right is the only people who use woke like that. It's not that the term woke has changed. It's they have their definition of woke doesn't match up with the rest of the world's definition of woke.
I also feel like get woke was like for like 5 years was just a shitty thing that like college students would say on the internet. And enough of that became annoying that it's like, oh, now it's bad. Because as soon as anything becomes annoying, now it's bad. Well, oh, it's annoying. It's bad now.
Well, the thing is that honestly, woke is the new red.
The new red?
What do you mean? McCarthyism.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
The Red Scare?
No, I don't know what this is. I have no idea. I don't get your old man references because you're several years older than me.
So.
Stop banging next to the microphone. Okay. You have no sound awareness. You're just clunking metal. Clunk, clunk, clunk.
McCarthyism was this whole. It was the Red Scare during the America. And so basically, the enemy of America was the communists. So.
It's like Cold War stuff?
Yeah, this is Cold War stuff. So you basically labeled everything you didn't like as communist.
Oh, that's like the Jeremy Clarkson jokes on the Grand Tour when they had the fat American race car driver. And it's like, you know, he thinks that, you know, this is communist. And that's anything that's not a V8 with a manual transmission, communist. Yeah, European cars, communist.
And so the short form for communist was red.
Right, the Reds. Sure, yeah, the Russians, the Ruskies. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you now.
So, the Red Scare, basically, there was this whole political thing where they would go and, you know, oh, this person is a hidden communist, you know.
Yeah, yeah, there was all that kind of stuff happening in the 60s. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
People naming names, whether it was true or not. And
so, basically.
It was in that movie, the guy gets interrogated. He's been a long time, like, public servant and a diplomat. And it's and they're like basically like asking if he's a homosexual. He's been married half a few years. He laughs, and they get really serious about it. He's like, "No, I'm not a homosexual." Because it's like homosexuals also red, also socialists, also communists. Whereas sexual orientation has absolutely nothing to do with your
political.
Well, communist versus democracy, communism. Yeah. Nothing. But anyway.
So, but the thing is that this was a, this.
But woke's the same thing now. Woke's the new red.
Yes, no, woke is the new red.
That's an interesting point of view.
In that basically
it's the new red.
It has become to mean that which I can label the enemy with.
That is true. I think that's that really sums it up nicely of the issue with the word woke and what it really colloquially means to different groups.
Yep. Hmm. Now, mind you, the word right has meant the same thing for to the left.
Yes. Oh, they're right, they're left, they're whatever. And the sad truth is, we have said it before in the podcast, the extremes of both sides are kind of the same. You can't say that, you can't think that, you can't read that book.
Yeah.
If I can't read a book, I can't think about it. If I can't say something or think about it, I can't really think about it. If you're telling me what I can say and can't, if you're telling me what I can and can't say and can and can't think and can and can't read, that's the same.
But the thing is, all of this feeds into the media's outrage machine.
Yeah, there is a lot of outrage machine these days to just get people riled up. And the sad truth is
because
it's not
riled up people click, and it's all about the clicks.
Yeah, I mean it's a little bit like the what's that guy did the movie Private Parts, the radio personality from New York.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. It's Howard Stern appeal in his movie he did back in the '90s about how he became popular. They talk about how like the average Howard Stern fan, you know, listens for an hour and a half, right? But the average Howard Stern hater listens for like 2.5 hours because they, and the reason why you listen so much, what's he going to say next? For both fans, like, you know, haters and people that love him, it's what, you know, what are you going to say next? And I think everything has become hating. What are they going to say next? What's it going to be next? What's the next
thing?
Well,
that's Ben Shapiro's appeal.
There's a little bit of that. The thing is, I think that's the clickbaity stuff or the quick things, but there's a lot more to Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh. They kind of have a lot more
I've got more respect for Matt Walsh than I do for Ben Shapiro.
I do feel like Matt Walsh is digging to...
Because as far as I can tell with Matt Walsh, he lives what he says.
And you're not sure Shapiro does.
I'm not sure Shapiro does.
Mm,
I think Shapiro is playing a part.
You think it's a little bit fanfare and dress and looking a bit.
Yeah, he is basically, he is very, very smart. Matt Walsh, maybe smart, but he honestly, I can, from everything I've seen with Matt Walsh.
Oh, I watched the Joe Rogan interview with him, and the last hour of it, because it's a long format interview, is basically debating the validity of gay marriage. And it's really... it's a good thinking thing to listen to. You really kind of think about it. But Michael Knowles is another one of these
Matt
guys.
Matt Walsh.
Which was the yoga thing we started with. The whole, was that the last episode?
That was the last episode.
That was the last episode? That's how we got onto Shapiro tonight. Yeah. Talking about Michael Knowles. Michael Knowles I find a little bit smarmy and irritating. And he kind of doesn't have a holistic point of view. I like a holistic point of view where we see it from all sides. And a lot of time it's like, from my perspective, this, therefore bad.
Yeah
but... What about the rest?
Well, the thing is, I think that's the problem with Ben Shapiro is that he's smart enough to see the other side, but he never acknowledges it.
Well, it's also interesting, too. Like, I'll see him laugh at, like, one of the funny Biden clips where Biden's falling over or the bicycle thing, which is, you know, which is funny. But the same thing with Trump, he's a little more cold and articulate if he criticizes Trump. It's a little more, you know, like, oh, he has too much rhetoric. He shouldn't have so much rhetoric. And Shapiro does just pander a bit. There was a video he did ages ago when Trump was president in office.
There is nothing, like, honestly, someone like Shapiro should have no respect for Trump at all.
Well, he said that he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't want Trump to be president, but given the choice between Biden and Trump, he's going to pick Trump.
But why? Biden is a Christian. Trump is not. Ben Shapiro, as a practicing Christian, should prefer
Biden.
He's not
a Christian. He's a Jew. He's an Orthodox Jew.
Well, even as a Jew. No, he's not an Orthodox Jew. He's an unorthodox Jew.
I thought he was a really strict Jew because, like, his family was a regular Jewish, like modern Jew, and then they converted when he was a teenager or something, and he became
I doubt he's practicing as much as he says he is.
Hmm. You really got a hard on for this guy.
I don't like Shapiro at all. He has always rubbed me the wrong way. Everything I've heard from him,
he does
him
that
say,
weird thing though in interviews where he does that, like, I can't believe you said that. What do you? And it's almost like he has a weird like autism breakdown or like a spectrum like moment. I remember he did with stop banging your metal thingy on the table. He did that with Bill Maher, and Bill was kind of like, what the hell? So there was kind of a weird moment. So he's kind of a weird dude. Because I do kind of wonder how much of it actually, now that I think about it, how much of it is it an act or is it genuine? Whereas Matt Walsh basically has no joy and criticizes everything all the time. But he's also a Catholic, and Catholics have no joy. All they have is guilt. that's a gross generalization
but
of Catholics.
But the Catholic guilt is a real thing.
Oh, yeah. Same as Jewish guilt.
Yes.
There's a lot of that. Anyway, so basically you're not keen on Shapiro, although I do like hearing his opinions because I love having a alternate point of view. And often when he's debating people, he's actually bringing up like legislation and here's when this happened. Here's when that happened because people say, well, because the laws are like this, well, those laws changed in 1960 or this, you know what I mean? So like a lot of times people, they're arguing their emotional state or their groupthink. Whereas a lot of times Shapiro's counter argument is, well, this is when this law happened. This is when the, you know, Congress did this. And you kind of go, well, that's actually a pretty fair point. Or he has other things. So I do like the whole way he argues with facts as opposed to bravado.
Yeah, but he is not arguing from a point of view of...
Oh, he's still on the side of it. He's on the right side of things. Yeah.
He's arguing from he's arguing to win a debate. He's debating, not actually conversing.
Well, yeah, because they're actual formal debates.
Thing is, but that's his thing, is that it's like, and I've actually come to the conclusion, debate is a sport.
Oh, yeah.
It is not a social discourse.
But did you see the one where he ranks the presidents? I was so excited because I'd never seen any of his like weird stuff by that point or anything pandering. And I was like, oh, he's going to rank all the presidents. And I thought like he's going to go through all the American presidents. I thought this will be really like neat. He basically picked like five. Trump was in office at the time, so before Biden was elected. And he was like, Trump is like an A president, but not A plus because of his rhetoric. Obama was an F president, great F, because Obamacare was a mess. Lincoln was an A plus because he freed the slaves. But it was so like... bullshit, high level cherry picking. Oh, I like this. Oh, yeah. I don't like that. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me, man? Because like,
because
up to that point, everything I'd watched with him was like,
because
super factual.
Because you know he is intellectually capable of actually coming up with good arguments, and for him to do that, it means that he's pandering.
I'm sure he had some producer was like, hey, we just need you to do a pandery thing. But what was interesting was he didn't just say, oh, Trump's A plus. He's like, Trump's only an A. But he was like, that was half the video, him being apologetic about only giving Trump an A instead of an A plus because of his rhetoric. And his rhetoric is just when Trump says crazy rude shit.
Well, the thing is that, so I can't give him an A plus because the guy's insane. But other than him being insane,
I'm not actually sure if Trump is insane.
No, I don't say he's insane. I'm actually saying he's insane. But if you listen to him, he sounds insane.
The thing is, though,
like, he is a boring narcissist. He is not even. Someone said. So I read something. Someone's like, you know, Trump is a very interesting psychological study. And then all the psychologists jumped in and said, no, he's just a boring narcissist. There's nothing interesting about Trump when it comes from a psychological point of view. He's just a celebrity with narcissistic personality disorder.
Well, that's what someone, I forget who it was,
he's boring.
But apparently there was some like compliment Putin gave him publicly. And after that, it was like, ah, Putin's okay. Okay. And then there was one. Pierce Morgan, who is, you know, a bit of a snake, honestly, with his, because it's all shock drill. And Pierce Morgan, you can fact check me if I'm wrong, but he was an editor at one of the trashy papers in the UK during a time frame which those trashy papers had legal judgment. They were guilty of illegally obtaining information and publishing things that they shouldn't publish, and they had big payouts. Whether or not he knew about it, of course, I'll say he didn't. But if you're a senior editor or top editor, you know, you weren't aware of anything. It seems a little bit sketchy. But anyway, Pierce Morgan was talking about he came to Florida to interview Trump at some point. I think it was after Trump was no longer president. His first term was over. And he wasn't sure because, like, Pierce Morgan had criticized him in previous things. Yeah. And he's like, oh, it's not all bad. I want to talk to you about other stuff, too. Like, I heard you got, like, I remember it was a hole-in-one or a really great, like, score in golf week before. That was amazing. I want to talk about that, too. And he's like... okay, I'll do the interview. Just compliment the guy's golf skills. But he said that's why he did that. Pierce doesn't give a shit about the golf. He cares more about the politics or something more inflammatory for more, you know, likes and attention. But I'll just give the guy a compliment on his golf game. I heard about what you did. I heard about that. It was amazing. Okay, you got the interview. Because he didn't want the guy to say no. Because Trump could have said no. And it's like he came from England to Florida and you walk away empty handed. So yeah, so Trump definitely has that kind of narcissistic.
Oh no, he is. The thing is, he's not. He doesn't even have any sort of complex sociological disorder. It's just simple narcissism. It's he is a classic. Like, you know, it's not something that people are going to be studying because, you know, he might get used as an example in first year psych classes.
Sure, I'm sure he does.
But he is such a classic narcissist. You know, the whole
But Shapiro has said things like, "Do I think Donald Trump's the best person to be president? No, but I don't think Joe Biden is either." And I can't really disagree.
Yeah, but
with
that's
that.
Just the other. That's just both sides. It's a non-argument. It is a intellectually bankrupt argument.
Yeah, because like this guy, no. Our guy, the right guy, no. The left guy, capital no.
Yeah, basically, you know, the.
What are you looking up? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, no, I'm looking up the narcissist prayer.
The narcissist prayer. This episode's going on forever. Everyone stop listening.
So the narcissist prayer. You can read it.
I'm going to read it because I have a funnier voice than you because I do stand up. That didn't happen. And if it did, it wasn't that bad. And if it was, that's not a big deal. And if it is, that's not my fault. And if it was, I didn't mean it. And if I did, you deserved it.
Doesn't that sound like Trump?
That's like Trump's like yoga mantra or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what he'd say while doing Downward Dog. Did you see the Borat, the second Borat movie? With the cartoon version of Trump with Melania. Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. But to a narcissist, the truth is not seen as finite, fixed entity, but seen as valuable, as being whatever the narcissist says it is at the time they say it. The truth is simply what serves the narcissist at that particular time.
Oh my God. That's funny.
No, Trump is just a simple narcissist.
But did you see, so you never saw it?
No.
It's on Prime. You have Prime. But you know the whole like classic Disney like Beauty and the Beast? They dance around the big ballroom dead by themselves, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Cinderella-y Beauty and the Beast. And Trump shows up, you know, as, you know, and there's like, you know, it's all cartoon. The cartoon bitten it. And instead of like grabbing her and dancing with her, he grabs her by the lady parts. Hence the quote, you know, you got to grab him by the, anyway. Yeah, and it's but Sacha Baron Cohen outdoes himself. That's the one where he has like the girl go in and pretend to be with Mary Giuliani, and he jumps out of a cupboard, and Giuliani's security comes in. And, yeah, when he anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sacha Baron Cohen. That's a good place to end. If you haven't seen it yet, watch Borat because it's. I mean, I love it. It's one of my guilty pleasures because it's so vulgar and stupid, but at the same time, it's so brilliant and hilarious.
Yeah, no, we could do like. 2 or 3 hours on
Borat?
On U.S. probably, but also in U.S. politics. So.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, right. That's enough for tonight.
That's like a 50-minute episode or something, or an hour. I will figure it out. All right.
Have a good night, everyone,
and we'll see you next time. Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.